I just went off there singing my own song there for a second. That was good singing. And now we've come to the most important part of the service. So you pray for Brother Chris. Brother, you come on. Preach to us. You may say what Brother Stephen says. You preach as long as you want. We're rolling at 7. No, just kidding. Love you, brother. Amen.
I tell you, it's always great to have an opportunity to be up here and speak from God's Word. Pastor Tyler, I greatly appreciate the opportunity. I'm glad you're feeling better this evening. Glad you're able to still be with us. Today was kind of a different Sunday than normal. I got a text this morning at about 7:30 from Pastor Tyler saying, "Hey, any way you can be ready, I'm not feeling too good. I may not be there." I jumped out. I mean, I was already awake, but I was still in bed. I jumped out of bed, and I hit the ground running. I thought, "Lord, what am I going to do here?" But you know, I was telling Pastor Tyler earlier, the little bit of time I've been preaching, there's been a couple of times that's happened where I've had a short notice to get something ready. And to me, in my short experience that I've had, that is some of the best sermons I think I've ever given. And I think simply because that the reason behind that is that I solely rely on the Lord. In that short time frame, there's no time for me to get myself involved, if that makes sense. There's no time for me to stand in the way of it. It's straight from Him. It's His grace and His mercy alone. But if you got your Bible with you tonight, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 63. I had a point there I was going to. I basically just sat down at my desk and I prayed for the Lord to show me something that He would have me preach this morning. And He led me immediately to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 63 there shortly after. And when Pastor Tyler asked me to continue on with tonight, I started looking for something else to do, to preach on, and started reading the Bible a little bit and just getting into it, studying it. I couldn't get away from this scripture. I think the Lord had it on His mind to give to my mind for a reason, and I think He wants us to hear it, and I'm excited. I'm going to be speaking for a short time with you. I know I try not to be too long. I can't promise anything. We may be here a little bit late, but the Lord really spoke to my heart with this, the topic I want to talk with you tonight, a long time ago. And I titled it, "Are You Thirsty?" Because there's been times in my life where I can remember that I was so thirsty for the Lord that if nothing else could quench my thirst. No matter where I put myself in life or who I was around or what I was doing in that time, there was nothing like the Lord, nothing else but Him that could quench that thirst. There's been times that I can recall that I was not as close to God as I should have been. And more often than not, it was those times that I was thirsty. And my thirst could not be quenched. There were times that I felt like I had stepped out of God's will for my life. And again, it was those times that I was so thirsty and nothing else seemed to quench, no matter how hard I tried. I can recall during those times that there were times where I could feel the Holy Spirit tugging at me, pulling at me, trying to lead me back to where God wanted me to be. And I was still got in my own way and wouldn't listen and pulled back away from the Holy Spirit. I can recall times when we're going to read about this here in just a little bit. I can recall times in which I felt like I was in a place where there was no worship. Spiritual wasteland is the way the Bible describes it. I've been in those times. And more often than not, it was because of me I was there. I walked away from church for whatever reason. I'd walked away from people that I knew loved me and loved God. And had gotten mixed up in the wrong areas, wrong people. And I'd put myself in those positions. But during all these times, I can recall a certain place in my life where I felt the longing and the thirst for God's presence. And often wondered why I felt He was so far away. I can remember thinking, why do I not feel close to God? What is wrong with me? What is going on? And why is God so far away from me? And then it hit me one day and I realized that it was my fault. You see, God goes nowhere. It's us that strays away from Him. It's us that walks away from Him. It's us that causes that thirst and that longing. You see, then I realized that it was my fault that my fellowship with God was broken. Now, I don't want that to be confused with the relationship. Because once you're saved, you have that relationship with God, and that cannot be broken. That cannot be taken away. But I believe the fellowship can. Our closeness with God can be broken. But we'll get into our scripture tonight. If you've got a copy of God's Word with you and you found your place, I ask that you stand for reverence of God's Word. We'll be focusing on verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 63. And the Bible says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this wonderful opportunity to speak from Your Word. Lord, I'm undeserving. Lord, I'm unfit. Pray that You would just bestow Your grace upon me. Lord, use me as an instrument for Your words to flow through. Lord, I pray that You give all of us ears to hear and hearts to feel this message tonight. Lord, I pray that it helps someone here. Lord, I just pray that You give me the grace to be able to properly divide, rightly divide Your Word. Give me the courage, Lord, to say what needs to be said and no more, no less. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the first thing I want us to see here is that this psalm is a psalm of David. He was in a turmoil here. He was in a trial. There were things coming after him that he could not control. I want you to see it first, when we get in that situation in our life where we're away from God, we're not where we need to be. If you're saved by the grace of God, there will be a longing for presence. And that's what we see here in verse number 1. We see a longing for the presence. The first part of verse 1 says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Early will I seek Thee. I got to studying this morning, and it really hit me kind of hard. First thing I thought about was, how early do we seek God's presence? If we're real with ourselves and honest with ourselves, on a daily basis, how early do we seek God? It should be as soon as we wake up every morning, we should be seeking God. But is that the reality? I know it's not for me oftentimes. I wake up, I go through my daily routine. My wife makes fun of me because I do everything the same way every morning. It never changes. Drives her crazy. She says, I don't know why you have to do everything the same exact way. She says, you get up the same way, you do the exact same thing, everything's the same. I guess that's the military and law enforcement that's been instilled in me since I was at a very young age. But everything's got to be the same, and if something gets off, if I'm not careful, I'll let it mess my whole day up. But I'm sad to say that there's still times that God doesn't get my first. I don't seek Him first. So I ask you this, church, as we go through this, I want you to ask yourself, is this the first thing that you do with your day? Do you seek God first? Do you seek Him early? The next thing I want us to see is the living. Bible says in verse number 1, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. So this is where we find ourselves when we allow ourselves to get out of God's will and away from God and create that distance. We find ourselves in a spiritual wasteland where there is no worship. We allow that to come into our lives. And that's where our soul starts to thirst for Thee. David, it's what happens. This happened to David here. He's on the run. His life is in danger. And he feels like he's in a spiritual wasteland. His soul is thirsting for God. His flesh is longing for God. You think about the affliction and the pain in his words here. It says, My soul thirsteth for Thee. And my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land. See, if we're not careful, there's places we can place ourselves that are a dry and thirsty land. There's places we can find ourselves very easily where there is no worship. And I'm not going to say it's not okay to go to those places if we're there for the right reasons, but we've got to make sure we are prepared and strong-willed enough to not get caught up in that. just like Lot when he pitched his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. He saw what he saw, and then he couldn't get away from it. Yeah. I mean, they physically had to pull him out before they destroyed it.
Yeah.
You know, church, I've been there. I can remember when I got out of church many years ago, it took a lot to get me back in. My wife was my guardian angel sent by the Lord to almost physically drag me back into church. I was so thirsty. I was in a spiritual wasteland, dry and thirsty land. There was no worship in my life. My kids, it breaks my heart for them that those years of their life, they didn't have nobody to lead them. They were in a dry land, and I had put them there. You see, where the Bible says where no water is, it's where there's no spiritual worship. Christ is our water. He's what quenches our thirst. Our soul needs it. If we're saved by the grace of God, our soul has got to have it. Without it, you feel dry. Without it, your flesh longs for it. I know when I have to go away now with the National Guard, different times, I'm away for different various amounts of time. If I miss one church service, my soul just longs to be back. My soul, I thirst for what little bit of preaching I can get. I know there's times where I've tried to watch what I could. You know, we depending on what we're doing, sometimes I may get to catch the whole thing. Sometimes I may get to watch 5 or 10 minutes of it. But I can tell you something. If I can't watch, I can always read.
Amen. Amen.
You see, God gives us a church here. He gives us fellowship with Him right here.
Yeah.
This past trip I took, we had no cell phone service, hardly at all, where we were at. I didn't get to watch any of the church services that took place. But praise the Lord, there the track club reading that we were doing, I was able to keep up with it.
Yeah.
And being in His book was enough to quench my thirst till I could get back home.
Amen.
The next thing I want us to see, we see the longing for presence and we see the living. The next thing I want us to see is the looking back. In verse number 2, the Bible says, "To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." I want you to think about today. I want you to think about this morning when you got up. I want you to think about right now. Maybe you're in a place today where you feel God's not as close as He once was. I want you to think about it this way. Where are you now that you weren't before? What are you doing now that you weren't doing before? What were you doing then that you're not doing now? Because God doesn't go anywhere. We do. God doesn't change. We do. We change those things and we do different things. And we do things differently than we did before. Or we may have done things differently then than we did now. I can remember those times in my life when God was felt like He was so far away from me. When in all reality it was me that was so far away from Him. I hadn't touched the Bible and I couldn't tell you how long. I hadn't darkened the doors of a church door and I couldn't tell you how long. It's one thing for us to understand that, or it's important for us to understand that it's not God that's going anywhere, it's us. If you're in a place today where you feel like you're not as close to God as you think you should be or you want to be, look at yourself. We've got to look at us. I had to look at me. I had to take a long, hard look at me and what was wrong in my life. What I had placed in my life that had gotten me away from God. What I needed to put in my life to get me back to God. I had to examine myself very hard. But here's another kicker to this. Can't do it on your own. You can't do it without Him. See, we have to seek Him. And then He'll give us the grace to examine ourselves, to show us what we've done wrong or what we've not been doing that we have been before. So that's today. And if you're in that position today, I want you to think back some time ago. I want you to think about a time ago when it felt like God was right there with you every step of the way. How great that feels. I can tell you, I've had ups and downs, even since I surrendered the call to pray. I tell you, I have never in my life, Pastor Tyler can attest to this, and probably Brother Glenn, anybody else that has stood up here and done this. And I was warned, forewarned, when I surrendered the call to preach, and still it hit me like a ton of bricks. The devil had never fought me harder than after I'd surrendered the call to preach. You see, that's the devil fights. When you're serving for God and you want to live for God and do God's work, that's when the devil's really going to hit you. Because he don't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to play the piano for God. He doesn't want you to count the money at church for God. He doesn't want you to clean the church. He don't want you to speak from this word. He don't want you to do anything. Because if you're doing that, you're lifting up God.
Amen.
If you're doing that, you may be pointing somebody else to God. The devil will fight every step of the way. But I want you to think about a time when God was right there with you. Brings me to my next point. That's the sanctuary. The Bible says in verse number 2, that's in the last part of that, it says, I've seen thee in the sanctuary. God's great. He's great. When we're right there with him, we can do anything. If we're working to glorify him and raise him up, we can do anything through him. Church, maybe you're there today, or you're in just a place that you just don't feel like God's there with you. I want to challenge you to get back to your sanctuary. Get back to God. He is the sanctuary.
Yeah.
He is the safe place, the strong place.
Amen.
He is our rock, our salvation. That's where we need to be. I think about my job, the people that I deal with a lot. It seems like if I had a quarter for every time that I dealt with somebody on the street and they told me, they said, I'm saved, I go to church. I remember before I was back in church living the way I should, I just kind of shunned them off. I was like, yeah, okay. There wasn't no way for me to be. That was the devil. Every time that Holy Spirit would tug at me and give me that opportunity to be good to somebody or witness to somebody, that was the devil on the other side of me. You ever see the TV shows where you got the angel on this shoulder and the devil on this shoulder? That's what it was. The angel was giving me an opportunity, and the devil was right there, just gnawing on my other ear, saying, don't listen to them. They're lying to you. Just shut them off and go on. Unfortunately, I listened to the devil a lot more than I did that little angel. Get back to your sanctuary. Get back to God. But not only get back to God, but get back to where God wants you to be.
Yeah.
You see, it's one thing to be with God. It's a whole other level to be where God wants you to be.
Yeah.
I can remember me and Brother Glenn was talking about this before service. I thought, before I surrendered to call to preach, probably a year before that, I thought I was right where God wanted me to be. I thought, hey, listen, there's nothing better than this right here. And I remember Pastor Daniel was scheduling a youth camp out with the boys. And he called, I think we were here one evening. He came over and he said, hey, brother, he said, I've been thinking about having some of the men do devotions at the campsite. He said, would like for you to do one. Without thinking, I said, yeah, sure, I'll be more than happy to. After that conversation was over, I thought, what did I just get myself into? I've never spoken, even thought about a devotion. I've never even done it. I'll be honest with you. I had to go home and look it up, see what it was. I had no idea what it was. And I thought, what have I gotten myself into? But you know, it's great to be close to God. Because I went home and I prayed. I said, God help me. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this on my own.
Yep.
God pointed me in a direction, and I thought, what better way than just to share my testimony?
Yep.
Share what I've been through.
Yes.
Maybe that can help somebody. So that's what I did. I kind of shared my testimony, where I had been, where I was, and what it took to get there. Isn't that an amazing thing? Side note, it don't matter where you've been.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You seek God, and he'll bring you back.
Amen.
I didn't deserve the chances he gave me. I didn't deserve it at all.
Yeah.
I didn't deserve the first chance he gave me.
Right.
He's an amazing God.
Amen.
But later on, I did that, and from that point forward, that devotion, I felt like the Lord was just eating at me to do something. I didn't know what it was. I honestly didn't have a clue. I remember thinking, there's got to be something else. And I thought it was working here at the church. And I tried to get involved in more of the work, helping with the mowing and the grounds keeping and different things. I didn't know what it was. And it seemed like no matter what I did, I couldn't be full. I couldn't get filled with anything. I couldn't be content. And I remember talking to Pastor Tyler right back here in these back chairs one day. And I told him, I said, brother, I don't know what in the world is going on. Actually, moving back up before that, I can remember one night in King's Kids, I was doing a lesson. After I did that devotion, I started getting involved in teaching the kids. And I remember one night, bless their hearts, they called me Pharaoh, but it was legit. We'd been in there a good while, and I wasn't halfway done. And I got done, I remember, and then I think it was Miss Audrey and Miss Jess was in there, and they said, you start sounding like a preacher. And that scared me to death. Those few words scared me absolutely to death. And if I remember right, I said, no way. There's no way. Nope. I got home, and my wife had said the same thing. And it kind of hit me a little different. And I thought, I'm not worthy of that. There's no way I can do that. And I remember having that conversation with Pastor Tyler right back there, and I said, Pastor, I don't know what's going on with me. I said, I don't know. I said, I feel like God wants me to do something. I said, honestly, I feel like he's calling me to preach. And he gave me some wonderful advice. And I remember praying as hard as I could pray. And I'd talked to another preacher friend of mine. The night of our youth retreat, they asked me to speak at it. And I remember the night before, Lord, he was on me. I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sit still. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't do anything. And I remember going out on that little balcony and just falling. And I told him, I said, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. I want to serve you. I want to give you my life. I want to be in your will. I want to do what you want me to do. And I'll never forget the peace that came over me. And I come back in through the doors, and lo and behold, there was Pastor Tyler. And I told him. And he said, brother, I'm happy for you. And he said, get ready. I told Pastor Daniel, he said, I'm happy for you, but get ready. And I didn't believe him. You know, I believed him, but I didn't take it as serious as I should have. But what amazed me is all the people around me. They said, what took you so long? And everybody knew before I did. But my point there, church, is we've got to get back to where God wants us to be.
Yeah.
Even if we're close to God, if he's eating at us to do something and we're ignoring it, trust me, there's no peace there.
Right.
There's no peace that you're going to find other than being where God wants you to be. But not only get back to your sanctuary, get back to God, get back to where he wants you to be, but get back to your fellowship with God.
Yeah.
Without a fellowship, we're not fruitful. Without a fellowship, we can't do good. Without that fellowship with God, we're spinning our wheels. We've got to get that fellowship. And again, I don't want that to be confused with relationship. Relationship deals with salvation. You cannot lose that once you have it. But our fellowship can be broken. So we see the longing for presence, the living and the looking back. And I'm going to try to make it through this one without crying. I bawled like a baby when I was studying this morning. But I want you to see the loving kindness.
Amen.
In verse number 3. It says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You think about that. His loving kindness is better than life itself.
Amen.
That word loving kindness means tender kindness motivated by or expressing affection. And that chasing me, I don't deserve his affection. I don't deserve any affection or any love that God has ever given me. But he still gives it. You're in that fellowship with God, he's going to give it. He's going to give you that affection. His loving kindness is better than life. You know, I got to thinking about what is better than life. What does that mean? Better than life is the highest quality of life is found in a relationship with God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved by the grace of God, and He's working on you, I urge you to come to this altar.
Amen.
Don't wait for me to get done. Come now. There's plenty of people here to pray for you, pray with you. The highest quality of life is found with a relationship with God. But not only a relationship with God, but the highest quality of life is found in fellowship with God. You see, once we're saved by the grace of God, we need that fellowship.
Yes.
I said it earlier, without that fellowship, without that closeness, we feel out of place. That's why when we sin and we break that fellowship a little bit and the Holy Spirit starts tugging on us, if you're saved by the grace of God, you know you feel bad. You feel like you're about that big. Well, in all reality, in the whole scheme of things, it's how big we are. But inside, you feel horrible. You feel like, what have I done? I know there's been times in my life where I've done something or been somewhere I shouldn't have been. And the Lord has with me, and the Holy Spirit's grabbed a hold of me, and I've been able to do nothing but fall on my face and beg for forgiveness. Because I knew it was wrong. But praise God, His loving kindness always comes through. His loving kindness always conquers all. I thank Him for His loving kindness.
Amen.
I thank Him for His loving kindness to give it possible for my soul to be saved. I thank Him for the loving kindness to make it possible for when I strayed away to be brought back. I love the Lord.
Amen.
And I love His loving kindness.
Amen.
And I thank Him for it. We see the longing for presence, the living, the looking back, and the loving kindness. The next thing I want us to see is the looking up. And this is the point I really wanted to get to. Because church, once that fellowship is broken, once we've stepped out of God's will, the only way to fix it, the only way to get it back is to look up.
Right.
You can't look anywhere else. Those times in my life where I've been away from God and not been in church, I remember looking other places, trying to get a little bit of fix in my life. I remember looking at friends and family and looking at, you know, different things in my different jobs. I can remember a time in my life where I poured my heart and soul into my work. I was never home. Every time the phone rang, I was out the door. Every time an extra shift popped up, I was signing up for it. I was doing anything I could to pour my heart and soul into that job. Because at that time, I felt like that was what was going to fix me. That's what was going to make me whole again. And that was what was going to quench my thirst. But I found out real quick it wasn't. I found out that the only thing that was going to fix me and quench my thirst was to get back to God. But I want us to see in the last part of verse 3 and verse number 4, it says, "My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My lips shall praise thee." And I remember thinking, when I surrendered the call to preach, I remember that, I couldn't tell you everything I said in that prayer that night, but I told the Lord, I said, "I'll praise you. I'll praise you with my mouth. I'm not the best with words. I'm not the smartest guy out there, but I'll do my best." Church, I challenge you tonight that let's praise God with our lips. Every day we're out there, we should be praising God with our lips. And I'm guilty of it. Believe me, I'm not standing up here as a saint. I'm not standing up here as somebody that has not done anything I'm preaching about. But you think back at how many times you've had the opportunity to praise God with your lips and haven't. I tell you, if I had a quarter for every time, I'd be a millionaire. Simple things. simple instances in my life where I could have simply praised God, and I either just kept my mouth shut or I said something I probably shouldn't have. Just imagine how close you could be with God if you'd have praised Him with your lips. Think how great that fellowship could have been if we had just said something nice about God, lifted that person up. But it doesn't stop there. He says, "My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." There's not only do we have to praise Him with our lips, we got to praise Him with our hands. I tell you, nothing warms my heart more than to see these young kids. When they hear something they like, they raise that little hand. I can remember, I was a little fella in church. I'd see all them men raise their hands, and I'd think, hey, that's cool, I'll do that too. I never understood what it meant until I got back in church as an adult. There's times that something happens in this building when God is there and and His Spirit is stirring that you just can't help but to lift your hand.
Yeah, right.
I think about where my kids would be today, how much further advanced they would be today if I'd have lifted my hands so many years ago and just praised God in front of them. I let them down. I think about all the people I've let down in my life because I could have very easily said, hey, that's God. God did that. I didn't have nothing to do with it. When somebody comes and says, hey, you'll never guess what happened to me. You'll never guess the car wreck we were almost in or the bad situation we survived this past weekend, or we just missed this horrible accident. I said, yeah, you were lucky. Truth is, luck had nothing to do with it. God had everything to do with it. And I could have very easily sent somebody in the right direction just by simply saying those words. But instead, I said, you were lucky. Even if I had just said, praise God, you were lucky. You know, that may have given them a shift in the right direction. But church, I don't want to be that. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to miss the opportunity to praise God with my lips and with my hands. I tell you, there's nothing like being whipped by the Lord. I've had a lot of whippings in my life, and I deserved every one of them. But I've never been whipped like the Lord's whipped me. Let's praise Him with our lips. Let's praise Him with our hands. But there in the first part of verse 4, it says, thus will I bless thee while I live. Church, let's praise God with our lives.
Yes.
And that's an area that hits me hard because I didn't do that for a long time. My wife and kids saw me doing what I shouldn't have done, being places I shouldn't have been, and not praising God with my life. Not lifting Him up and giving Him the glory with my life. You see, there's a hard task we're tasked with being a Christian, being saved, is living that life that shows others that we're saved. And it ain't easy. I think about the children of Israel. I think about, bless their hearts, they were stubborn as bull. No matter how many times the law was laid out for them, no matter how many times they would do wrong, and then God would come down on them, and then He would forgive them, and then it was just like a never-ending cycle. And then when I think about that, I think about me. I'm no better than they are, than they were. I do the same thing. Even to this day, if the Lord shows me something I need to change or I've done wrong, and I'll do it, and the next thing you know, before I know it, it's right back in there. I'm right back to doing what I was before. And I get to thinking about, why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for me to just do what the Lord wants or do what's right? And then the Holy Spirit reminds me and says, hey, because you can't do it on your own. You can't do it by yourself. It's almost like, you know, I'm a little more stubborn than a lot of folk, and I take a little bit more correction than a lot of people, but I can almost feel, anybody ever watch that show NCIS? The boss, I love that show. The boss walks up behind them when they do something stupid and smacks them in the back of the head. I can't tell you how many times the Holy Spirit's walked up behind me and smacked me in the back of the head and said, hey, dummy. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You missed an opportunity there. Church, I'm telling you, I want to share this with you today because I want to get in a point in my life where this doesn't affect me as it did before. I want to be at a place in my life where I can honestly say, I can't think of an opportunity where I've missed. I can't think of somebody I could have helped and have it. I strive. One thing my wife always tells me is I'm too hard on myself. I strive for perfection even though knowing I can't get it. But that doesn't stop me from striving for it. Let's praise God with our lives. So I want to ask you just three questions here tonight. Are you in a place today or tonight where you feel like your fellowship with God has not been what it once was? And I don't want no hands raised. You don't have to answer me. I just want you to think about this. Be honest with yourself for a minute. Do you feel today? Are you in a place where you feel like you're not as close to God as you once were? Is there something in your life that you feel is just stopping that closeness from God? I want you to ask yourself this question. Do you feel a burning desire to get closer to God? Because that's important. As a Christian, we may not be necessarily stepping away from God, but do you have that fire in your soul to get closer? And the next thing I want to ask is, are you living in a spiritual wasteland? Are you at a place in your life where you're just going through the motions of going to church, going home, going out to eating lunch, and then coming back to church, and then Wednesday night coming back? Or are you just going through emotion? Are you in a spiritual wasteland? I want you to see something real quick over in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. If you feel like you're in a spiritual wasteland, or you feel like you are not as close to God as you once were, or you feel like you don't have that burning desire to get close to God like you used to, I want you to think about this verse. And I want to give everybody time to get there so you know where to find it later on, because this verse helped me. It's helped me a lot in my life. But Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Church, there's no feeling like the feeling God can give you. There's no fulfillment like serving God. There's no joy that you will ever find to match what God can give. I wish I'd had this mindset years ago in my life. I think about where would I be today? How many people could I have helped? How many souls could I have reached for God? But then I think about this. God's got a time for everything. The important part is that we have that fellowship with Him and that we're close to Him so that we're ready when we see it. When He shows it to us, we've got to be ready. And if we're not close and our fellowship's not what it could be, we're going to miss it. You know, I ran from the Lord as long as I could. I'd ran till I was tired and couldn't run anymore. And it seemed like even though I'd run so long, I'd run for miles to get away from Him. But you know, when I was ready to go back, you know how far away He was from me? He was a prayer away.
Amen.
He was right there the whole time. No matter how hard I ran, no matter how hard I tried to stay away, He was right there. During this invitation, we're here in a few minutes, I want you to think about just a couple things. This scripture we talked about tonight is when David is running from his son. There's a threat against his life. Is the devil threatening you today? Has he been threatening you lately? Are you going through something in your life that is threatening your spiritual life? Is there something from the world that's going on that is threatening you and placing you in a spiritual wasteland? Maybe you're here tonight and you're just so thirsty. Your soul is thirsty for God's presence in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to know one more thing. Maybe you just haven't felt like you were as close to God as you could be. And you feel like your flesh is just longing for that fellowship. I want you to think about something. And this is something I had to learn years ago. And a lot of you know. And I'm not trying to make it sound like you don't. But this altar is more than just wood. This altar is more than just a place to come pray and come talk to God. This altar is a place to leave things. If there's something that's keeping you in a spiritual wasteland tonight, if there's something that's keeping you from being close to God as you want to be, you can leave it right here. He's standing there with his arms open, wanting to take it. He wants us to lay it at his feet. We just have to do it. You know, I think when I was studying this, one thing that popped in my head was the situation in Ukraine. You talked about what should have been a spiritual wasteland. War in itself is a spiritual wasteland. But I got to thinking about them Ukrainians. How the reports that we're getting about souls being saved. Praise God, they're looking for you. Through all this trial and all this turmoil, they're running for their lives. Literally. Just like David was. But who are they running to? They're running to God. So I urge you tonight, during this time of invitation, if there's something chasing you, if the devil's chasing you with something tonight, if there's something in your life that is just eating at you and threatening your fellowship with God, run to God. Come to this altar tonight when you're given the opportunity and lay it at his feet. Give it to him. I know I need to. Every time I turn around, it seems like there's something in my life that's just chasing me. Won't let go. I need to run to him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to speak to your word, speak from your word. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for all the chances, all the affection that you've given me, even though I don't deserve it. Lord, I'm undeserving. I'm so small. But Lord, you're so great. Lord, I pray for everyone here tonight. I pray that if there's something going on, something in their life that's pushing them into a spiritual wasteland, something that's breaking that fellowship, Lord, I pray that they would come to your altar, lay it at your feet. Lord, I know that if we will, your faith and just to take it. Lord, I just ask that you bless them and help all of us during this time of invitation. Amen. Pastor Tyler.
As Miss Mary begins to play, where does this message find you?